Let's read together Proverbs chapter 26, verses 1 through 16. Now, in this first half of Proverbs 26, we have a group of proverbs concerning fools in verses 1 through 12, and then a group of proverbs concerning the sluggard in verses 13 through 16. Now, for background, let's consider and explain verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5 once again. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Wait a minute. That sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? Verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly. And then verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly. Well, we know it's not a contradiction because this is the Bible, and there are no contradictions in the Bible. That is, the Bible does not contradict itself when properly understood and interpreted. Well, then, how is this apparent contradiction in verses 4 and 5 of Proverbs 26 to be explained? It has to do with the kind of answer you give a fool. Verse 4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. That is, don't lower yourself to the level of a fool by losing your temper or giving a long answer that the fool will not understand. That would be answering a fool according to his folly in the wrong way. Don't answer him that way. That would make you foolish. Rather, answer a fool according to his folly in the right way. That is, a short, to-the-point answer that doesn't elevate the fool to where he's thinking he's so smart. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Illustration. You know, we get a lot of feedback from around the world on our website, growingchristians.org. Most of the feedback is positive. But occasionally we'll get a fool writing in who thinks he or she is the wisest person who ever lived, and he or she proceeds to tear down the Bible and the Christian faith. Well, we don't spend a lot of time answering these people, if we answer them at all. A typical answer would be, dear so-and-so, thanks for your challenging email. See Psalm 53:1, signed GCM staff. Now, if this person takes the time to look up that scripture, they will read what God says in Psalm 53:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. End of quote. Psalm 53:1. That's a pretty good short answer, right? So Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5, are not really a contradiction at all, but rather complementary. Well, that brings us to our doctrinal point once again for the Proverbs of Solomon. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. Verse 1, Proverbs 26, verse 1, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Don't honor a fool. It's as out of place and as inappropriate as a snowstorm in summer, and could be as dangerous as a rainstorm at the time of harvest, which could ruin the crops. We see this truth so often when celebrities are honored by popular culture. Not only is honor inappropriate for so many of these vain and shallow culture stars, but they mislead and ruin many promising young people. Love for the Lord and obedience to his word is the only safeguard for potential problems in this area. Verse 2, like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. Has a sparrow or swallow flitting through the sky ever hurt you? No, of course not. Well, if you know the Lord, you don't have to worry or be superstitious about some curse that some unbeliever may place on you. Verse 6, Proverbs 26, verse 6. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Now that's quite descriptive, isn't it? If you cut off your feet or drink poison, you can be sure you have immobilized yourself and you're not going anywhere. Well, in the same way, if you send a fool on an important mission, you are in for trouble. You can be sure that there will be loss or garbling or failure or bad fallout in some way. I've seen it happen. So whether it be in business or ministry, don't hire or depend on a fool. Verse 7, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. A lame person cannot use his legs properly no matter how hard he tries. In the same way, fools cannot handle proverbs properly because they don't understand them. And when they try to use a proverb, it's as awkward as a lame man trying to walk. They may even foolishly misquote it, saying, for example, that a bird in the bush is worth two in the hand, showing that they totally misunderstand the proverb. That's not a biblical proverb, by the way. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush is the correct way to state that proverb, as you know. Verse 8, Proverbs 26, verse 8. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Suppose we saw someone with one of those ancient slings like David used when he fought Goliath, and we saw him gluing a stone inside the pouch of the sling. And he told us that the reason he was doing this was because every time he tried to use a sling, the stone would fall out before he could sling it. Well, I think we would rightly think of him as stupid. The sling is totally ineffective. Well, in the same way, when you give honor to a fool, it is stupid and ineffective. That's the point of the proverb. Verse 9, like a thorn or thorn bush that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. This proverb is very similar to verse 7, isn't it? Which says, once again, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. There, the point in verse 7 was that a proverb is useless when a fool awkwardly tries to use it. Here, the point in verse 9 seems to be either that when a fool uses a proverb, it could be dangerous, like waving a thorn bush around, or it is painful and ineffective, as when an unsteady drunkard tries to pull a thorn out of his hand. Verse 10, the great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. Now, the translation of this proverb is difficult, and therefore you will find various translations and thus various interpretations. Now, I read the proverb from the New King James Version, and with this translation, the meaning is that God repays the fool for his folly and sin. The New American Standard translates this verse as follows. Like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or who hires those who pass by. Proverbs 26:10 from the New American Standard translation. The point is that hiring a fool or a stranger is like having a loose cannon working for you. Verse 11, Proverbs 26, verse 11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. The point of this proverb is that fools don't learn from their experiences. They return to their disgusting habits as dogs return to eat food that they previously vomited. Now, Peter quotes this proverb in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, in reference to professing Christians who return to the world and the false teaching from which they were once delivered. I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it happened to them according to the true proverb, and now comes the quote from Proverbs 26, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. From 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Verse 12, Proverbs 26, 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Sometimes a fool will respond to discipline and change, but not a proud and conceited person. You're wasting your time. And now from verses 13 through 16, we have four proverbs about the sluggard. Verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. Well, this proverb is very similar to verse 13 of chapter 22. Let me read that once again. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs 22, verse 13. The point of both of these proverbs is that the lazy person will come up with all kinds of bizarre excuses to avoid going to work. Now, this proverb has plenty of practical applications. I remember keeping a list of the unbelievable excuses people were giving me when I was trying to start a new Bible study. Even excuses like, I don't have a good Bible. Well, get one. Or we'll give you one. I mean, there are unbelievable, bizarre excuses that people will come up with when they don't want to do something. And when they're lazy, that's the point. Verse 14, as a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy person may look like he's making a move to get up and work, but he's only turning back and forth on his bed, and he's stuck there like a hinged door. Verse 15, the lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. Now that's pretty lazy, isn't it? Now, this proverb should be encouraging to you if anyone ever accuses you of being a sluggard. You can always say, hey, wait a minute, I'm no sluggard. I haven't gotten tired of eating yet. And then quote this proverb to them. Verse 16, Proverbs 26, 16. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. The lazy person is convinced that he has his act together. Seven wise people can advise him to get a job or correct his wrong thinking, but he will not listen. The Proverbs are wise advice for everyday living. And that brings us to our practical application for this first half of Proverbs 26. Take control by cracking the whip and yanking the bridle. Take control by cracking the whip and yanking the bridle. Verse 3, once again, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. The point of this proverb is that a horse or mule are very useful and effective as long as you have control of them. And you don't get control of them by just speaking softly to them or trying to reason with them. There must be the occasional cracking of the whip and yanking on the bridle. Notice, by the way, that the whip drives forward and the bridle holds back. In the same way, the fool must be controlled even to the point of physical punishment. Illustration. As a teacher of high school and college-age students, occasionally I would have to follow this proverb with students who were acting foolishly or behaving as fools, even to the point of kicking them out of class until they came to their senses and were under control. You may have to do the same as a Christian parent or Sunday school teacher. It is not wrong or unloving to bring down the axe occasionally if need be. Take control by cracking the whip and yanking the bridle.